like this morning to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. I'd like to read verses 3 through verse 5 of Isaiah, chapter 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And we all know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all connect these words to the ministry of John the Baptist, who called upon the people of his day to make a way, to prepare a way for the coming of God in the person of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is the voice that crieth in the wilderness. These words also have immediate reference to Isaiah. Isaiah also was the voice that crieth in the wilderness to the people of his day to make preparation for the Lord, to make preparation for the glory of the Lord. And the words of our text, again, they have an immediate reference to Isaiah. They have a prophetic reference to John the Baptist. But even more importantly, what is written here has application to ourselves. And that's what we are interested in this morning. The cry of both Isaiah and John the Baptist, prepare ye, that speaks of personal responsibility. Prepare ye, that is, arrange things, make provision, get everything set. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight, that is, make direct, in the desert a highway. A highway is a throughway. Make a highway in the desert, a throughway for our God. The message of Isaiah, the message of John the Baptist was simply this: clear the way for God. That was the message of Isaiah: clear the way for God. That was the message of John the Baptist: clear the way for Christ. Isaiah delivered his message: prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. To a very rebellious, to a very idolatrous people, to a people who were weighted down with a load of sin. As you read the first 35 chapters of Isaiah, you see that they were very materialistic people. They were a people who trivialized sin and basically were a people who were oblivious to God. And they were estranged from God. Isaiah told them that they would soon be going into Babylonian captivity because of their sins. John the Baptist delivered his message: prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, to a people who were hardened in the ways of sin. as a result of not hearing from God for 400 years. Remember, when John the Baptist came on the scene, there hasn't been a word from God in 400 years. Not one word. Now, when that happens, people's hearts are going to be hard. And if you don't hear from God in a day, your heart's going to get hard. You go 400 years without a word from God. John was speaking to people who were very hard. People who were hardened in their sins. So both Isaiah and John the Baptist delivered their message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That is, both Isaiah and John the Baptist were simply saying, clear the way. Clear the way. And they were saying these words to a people who were suffering. To a people who were in a place of spiritual desolation. To a people who were in a place of spiritual erosion. And the message of these two men, separated by 700 years, was still the same. Clear the way for God. So in order for God to come, both in Isaiah's day, both in John the Baptist's day, what Isaiah and John the Baptist is saying is there must be a clearing process. A clearing process has to take place. And the details of that clearing process are given in verse 4 of our text. He mentions four things there in verse 4. The result of the clearing process is seen in verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What does that mean? Well, that is the appearance of God, God's reality in our lives. It is God being made visible. It is God being made obvious. It is the beauty, it is the magnificence of God radiating in such a way that it makes a lasting impression upon us. But before that will happen, there is a clearing process that must take place. And then the result is, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now there should be no doubt today, we desperately need a move of God in our lives, in homes, in churches. And I believe the call still goes forth. We desperately need this. Clear the way. Clear the way. Clear the way. Make a highway, make a throughway for God to come into our lives. We're to have an eagerness for God in our lives. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be unveiled. We all want that. Everyone that's here and saved, every single one of us want that. But how many are willing to clear the way? How many are willing to clear the way of anything that would obstruct God being in our lives? Anything that would hinder. Anything that might restrict or hamper the glory of God being revealed in our lives. Are we willing to clear the way? Are we willing to clear the way of all the things that have intruded into our lives? Of all the encroachments that have been made in our lives? Are we willing to clear the way? I ask you today, are we willing to consider? Are we willing even to consider what it is that stands in the way of the glory of God seizing our souls, taking hold of us, that God and the things of God would captivate our minds? Are we willing to consider what might be standing in the way of that happening? Are we willing to consider what might be standing in the way of God just taking over our lives and God being in our lives? Again, will you determine in your heart to clear the way for God? Now back to our text. We cannot accomplish verse 3 without going through verse 4. In order to accomplish verse 3, you have to do the four things that are mentioned in verse 4. And you cannot get to verse 5 without going through verse 4. We need to realize that. Because we all like verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, it is. But you have to go through verse 4 to get to verse 5. And that's that. Verse 4 is simply the details of what is stated in verse 3. So before we can live in verse 5, the glory of the Lord, the splendor, the magnificence, the beauty of God coming down in such a way that it makes a life-changing impression upon us. Moses longed to see the glory of God. We also long to see the glory of God. But I believe what we read here tells us that preparations must be made. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. Clearing the way. Clearing the way for God's glory. And we want to look at verse 4. And we see four things. And again, I believe these four things are the details of prepare ye the way of the Lord. They are the details of make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the four things mentioned, pretty much John the Baptist summed it all up when he came on the scene. And what did he preach? Repentance. That's what he preached. Repentance. And that's basically what verse 4 is talking about. Clearing the way. Making room. First off, notice every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be exalted. Clearing the way involves a filling process. In clearing the way, some things will have to be lifted up. Every valley shall be exalted. A valley is a crevice. A valley is a gutter. A valley is a low place. Spiritually, valleys are empty places. They are lacking places. They are the places where we have the tendency to get bogged down. I believe they represent places of spiritual failure. Spiritual places that you and I have allowed to become hollow. And I believe we all have them. We all have some places in our lives, spiritually, that we have allowed to become hollow. These are the valleys. And we must identify. If we're going to fill these places, we must identify these places in our lives. For some, it may be prayer. You don't pray. You go through the day and you just do not pray. Every valley must be exalted. Oh, we want the glory of God to be revealed. And yet there are people who do not even talk to God. But oh, we want the glory of God. For some, it may be Bible reading. You don't read His Word. You don't study His Word. Oh, we want the glory of God revealed. We want the glory. I want the glory of God in my life. I want the glory of God in my marriage. I want the glory of God in my home. And yet you will not even read His Word. These are the valleys. I want God to do such and such in my life. I want God to fix such and such in my life. But prayer is neglected. Bible reading is neglected. Worship. Some choose to stay away from the house of God. They are the more obvious examples of this valley where worship has become hollow. They are the obvious examples. But then there are others who are not quite as obvious. They're always here, but they don't worship. They don't worship. God doesn't speak. No lasting impression is made. There are others, their valleys may be marital issues. But the truth is this. If we're going to have God in our lives, and you say, well, God's in everyone's life. Yes, He is. But if we're going to have God in our lives in a relevant way, in a way that is real to you and I, if we are going to have the beauty and magnificence of God radiating in such a way that it makes an impression upon us, we have to identify in our own lives where we have failed. Where I have failed spiritually in my own life. Have I failed in prayer? Have I failed in Bible reading? Have I failed in worship? Whatever it is, where have I failed? Where have I failed? Because if we want the glory of God in our lives, these places of failure need to be filled with whatever it is that is lacking. That's part of clearing the way. Part of clearing the way is filling up all the empty spots. Filling up all the holes. That's part of clearing the way. You know, these verses come from the custom. when a dignitary was coming into town, a herald, a messenger would go before and he would shout, "Prepare the way! Prepare the way!" And the way would be prepared for a king or whoever to come into town. And this is what Isaiah is saying. This is what John the Baptist is saying. Prepare the way! Clear the way! Clear the way for the glory of God to be revealed in our lives. I've heard for years and years and years, people have all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of opinions on why we do not experience on a regular basis. I mean Sunday after Sunday. Why is it that we do not experience on a regular basis the glory of God in our lives? And I believe we have the answer right here. Take away all other opinions. Here's the answer. You've got to clear the way. We're like those in Nehemiah's day. Remember, they said to Nehemiah, "Nehemiah, there's too much rubbish. We're not able to build." That's true today. God's people just continue to pile up the rubbish, and they carry it to church with them. Our churches are filled with rubbish. Lives are filled with rubbish. Homes are filled with rubbish. Marriages are filled with rubbish. Relationships are filled with rubbish. And then we wonder, why is all this happening? Clear the way! Clear the way! You've got to get some things out of the way if you want the glory of God in your lives. Those places of failure, don't just push them off. "Well, I'm not the only one who has this problem. So do others." What's that got to do with anything? "I don't pray, but I'm not the only one." Does that make you feel better? "I don't read my Bible, but I'm not the only one. I may not worship, I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm not the only one." No, you're not the only one, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. We need to fill the empty spaces. Secondly, he says, "Every mountain and hill shall be made low." Clearing the way involves a leveling process. In other words, some things, in order to clear the way, in order to make a throughway, some things are going to have to be lowered down. "Every mountain and hill shall be made low." Now, a mountain or a hill is something that is taller than the landscape around it. That constitutes a mountain or hill. Mountains and hills are barriers. They are obstacles. They are obstructions. Spiritually, they are the things that get in the way of our spirituality. Things that hinder us spiritually. Things that hold us back spiritually. We need to identify these things. We need to correctly identify these things. Because many will incorrectly identify these things. They are the things that interfere with our spirituality. They're the things that thwart spiritual progress. They're simply the things that get in the way of being what we ought to be, of doing what we ought to do. They're things that block our view of God. Mountains and hills, these are spiritual roadblocks in our lives. We all have them. We all have some roadblocks in our lives. Roadblocks that we have set up. Roadblocks that we have allowed to be set up. And these roadblocks have the potential to destroy us. They certainly will rob us. They will rob us of the glory of God being revealed. So we all have these mountains. We all have these hills. We need to identify them. We could go on for a long time. What might constitute the mountain? What might constitute the hills in our lives? We'll mention a few. Selfishness. It's a mountain that needs to come down. Pride. Lust. Worry. Jealousy. Bitterness. Hypocrisy. Fear. Guilt. Unbelief. Spiritual indifference. Self-will, which of course goes along with selfishness. Busyness in the world. Worldly friends. Traditions. Oh, now, there's nothing wrong with traditions. Depends on the tradition. There are those who have family traditions that hinder you spiritually. Oh, we've been doing it for years. Yes, and you've been hindering yourself for years. It's time for the mountain to come down. Traditions. Habits. Habits. Attitudes. Just throw this one in. Video games. Oh, what a mountain. We all have them. We all have them. We all need to see that if we want to experience verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, these mountains have to be brought down. If we're going to have God in our lives, if we're going to have the beauty and magnificence of God radiate in our lives, and I'm talking about as a regular occurrence, if we're going to have this in such a way as to make a lasting, life-changing impression upon us, the barriers and the obstacles that stand in the way have to be brought down. Is there anyone here? You don't have to speak up now, but if there is anyone here, you can let me know later. Is there anyone here that has a life free of barriers, a life free of obstacles? I don't believe there is. We all have them. Barriers and obstacles that stand in the way. You know what we have the tendency to do today? Rather than bringing these things down, we just build them higher. The mountains become more numerous. The hills become more steep. There are people here right now, you don't just have a mountain, you have a whole range. You have a mountain range in your life. And that mountain range needs to come down if you want to experience on a regular basis God in your life. Thirdly, it says the crooked shall be made straight. That is, in clearing the way, some things are going to have to be lined up. Crooked has reference to that which is winding and twisting. that which zigzags. We all have some spiritual zigzags in our life. That which is deformed. That which is contorted. It's askew. It's off-centered. We all have these areas in our lives. These are simply the areas that do not line up with thus saith the Lord. It could be anything. But what are the areas in our lives? It's easy to see them in other people's lives. But what are the areas in our lives that do not line up with thus saith the Lord? These are the crooked places. These are the crooked places that must be made straight. These are the crooked places that must be brought in line with thus saith the Lord. We need to identify. We need to identify these areas. There are those, and we all do, there are those who have taken a wrong road. That's a crooked road. They've taken a wrong road in their lives. Oh, they want the glory of God, but they've taken a wrong road. That road needs to be made straight. That road needs to be lined up with what God says. There are those who have taken a wrong road in their marriage. Husbands and wives that have not gotten along for years. I want to tell you, somewhere you took a wrong road and you continue to walk down that wrong road. The crooked places must be made straight. Husbands and wives need to get things in line with what God says. And then we might see the glory of God revealed. Same is true of our homes. There are things in our homes that are not in line with what God says. And someone will say, "Well, it's my home, I can do with what I want." That attitude needs to be brought down also. We have to identify the things in our lives, the ways in our lives that simply do not line up with what God says. And if we are going to have God in our lives in a relevant way, if we're going to have the beauty and the magnificence of God radiate in such a way that it makes an impression upon us, there are things in all of our lives that are just going to have to be lined up with thus saith the Lord. This is part of the clearing process. And notice fourthly and lastly, and the rough places, plain. In the clearing process involves a smoothing process. And the rough places, plain. In other words, in clearing the way, some things are going to have to be leveled out. All the rocks, the stones, all the debris must be cleared. These are the stumbling blocks in our lives. You ever wonder why you trip over the same thing over and over and over and over again? What are you going to do in your house if you have an ottoman and you trip over it every single day? Common sense will tell you, you know what? I need to move that ottoman. I need to get that ottoman out of the way. It's in a bad spot. Why are people continually tripping over the same thing spiritually every single day? Because they will not get it out of the way. Clear the way. Clear the way of all stumbling blocks, of all the rocks, of all the stones, of all the debris. This is part of clearing process. We all have things that we trip over. We all have those snags that we are constantly, that are constantly laying hold of us. These things need to be gotten out of the way. Clear the way. Yes, we want the glory of God. We want the glory of God in our lives. We want God in our lives. We want God to be complete, to be manifest in our lives. But are we willing to clear the way of anything and everything that might, that just might be in the way? In closing, verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." I believe that's a possibility that exists for every child of God. It's something that we ought to hunger and thirst for. It's something that we ought to crave in every area of our life. You ought to want the glory of God to fill your life. You ought to want the glory of God to radiate in your marriage. You ought to want the glory of God to radiate in your home, in every aspect of your life. We ought to crave for that. We ought to crave that. But in order to experience verse 5, throughout our lives, not just every now and then, but in order to experience it throughout our lives, we must clear the way. We need some spiritual bulldozers in our lives. We need some spiritual bulldozers in our marriages and in our homes. Bulldozers that will clear the way of anything and everything. It might be a hindrance in our lives. Again, I ask you today to take a close look at your life. What is it? And chances are it's not just one thing. But what is it that stands in the way of God just being in your life in a very manifest way? What is it that stands in the way of you just being closer to God? What is it? Do you want to be close to God? Do you want to have an intimacy with the Lord? Are you willing to clear the way so that you can have that? Are you willing to clear the way? What is it that holds you back spiritually? There's that perhaps one thing, and you know it's like a ball and chain. It's holding you back, but you drag it with you every single day. Can't you see you need to clear the way? What is it that interferes with your relationship with God? What is it that might block your view of God? You can't even see God. What is it that blocks your view? What is it that robs you and drains you spiritually? Just drains the life out of you spiritually. Oh, you might sit in a church service and you might get a spiritual high, for lack of a better word, but it won't be long. That'll be gone. You'll be spiritually drained. What is it? What are those things that just continually drain us spiritually? I believe if we take an honest look, we'll find it's the same thing over and over and over again, because we haven't gotten it out of the way. Again, a Call your attention to verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Are you willing to clear the way for such to happen? This is where it starts. We need to clear the way. We don't expect the world to get any better, because I don't expect the world to clear the way. But it can be a lot better for God's people than it is if we just clear the way. You know what? Clearing the way is hard work. That's a hard work. But it'll be worth it. I promise you today, it'll be worth it. Look at your life. Clear the way for God. Now, we've been speaking to the saved. If you're here today and lost, Jesus Christ is your only hope. You need to look to Him. You need to cry out to Him today. He is your only hope today. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.